it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back midday show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494 as we get set for a wild night here in Philadelphia. Game three last night.
Oh my gosh, it's awful.
A win for the Phils. Game four tonight, 6:08. You can hear that one on KYW and WPAC 1210. Of course, we got an Eagles game tonight. We'll get to that coming up in a little bit, including what we should be expecting tonight against a dreadful Giants team as the Eagles play a Thursday night football game. The Flyers start tonight. But, Hugh, last night, late in the game, and how about I saw you last night. You were posting videos showing everyone you were still awake.
I was still up, man. I was up.
You made it.
I made it to the whole game. But that's the type of game. As a matter of fact, after the game, I couldn't go to sleep because I was charged. I had to hell dived a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I was shaking.
I was hell diving. I went hell diving for a little while.
Is it hell dove?
Hell no, it's hell diving.
Hell diving.
Yeah.
Did you win? How does that work?
Well, no, it's like you got to you hell dive with your clan.
Why?
With a hard C. No, it's not called a clan. It's your faction. It's like your couple other guys. It's like three other people that you play with.
Right.
And, you know, we hell dive into these planets and fight aliens and stuff.
Did you win was such a dad question.
Yeah.
Like, you have no idea what he's talking about.
I did it for democracy. We're doing it for democracy.
You did it for democracy.
Yeah. Yeah, we're trying to liberate, liberators.
Yeah, I'm imagining you went an Uncle
you got,
Sam hat
you
on
You have
now.
To play hell divers to understand
what
I'm
saying. He's got an American flag cape on.
Yeah, well, it's
like
not,
Apollo
it's
Creed.
Not really America. It's called Super Earth. It's like you're fighting on Super Earth.
Sure, of course. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Listen, I don't know if people fell asleep last night late, if they started hell diving, but you may have missed something that I think is a huge, huge thing for tonight. So before the Phillies blew the game open last night, it's 3-1, right? Ranger gets through the seventh, but they panned to the bullpen, and you know who was warming up?
Duran
was warming up, which told me that Rob Thomson last night was planning to use Duran for two innings, right?
Oh, yeah, eighth and ninth.
But then the Phillies went so crazy in the eighth, he didn't have to use him for any innings. And why I think the whole operation last night, that when they blew the game open with the JT home run and the Schwarber second home run, it changed everything because, all right, so I was on board with it. If it was only a 3-1 lead, use Duran for two innings, right? We can't leave anything to chance. It's elimination. But, Hugh, Duran has pitched multiple innings, you know, two full innings, 19 times in his career. Do you know how many times he's pitched two innings and then pitched again the next day?
Never.
Never. So if we used him last night for two, which was obviously going to be the plan, I don't know if he would have been available today, or maybe he wouldn't have been the same guy. You know, he's just never done it before. So the fact that we didn't have to use him at all, and the fact that obviously we'd have to use him for two innings changes it, because tonight, I expect him for two innings tonight. I mean, that was the plan yesterday. He wasn't used. So the way I look at tonight is, if we could get a lead after seven, give him the baseball. Like, that was the plan last night. Let's do it again. I think it changes a lot. Let's hear Topper last night on the Duran thing and getting the lead late and kind of pouring it on.
Going into eighth, was it your plan to get six outs from Duran? And if so, how big was that offensive outburst in saving him potentially for tomorrow?
Yeah, that's what we were going to do, especially starting at bats, I believe. We started in the eighth. Once we had it on, went to Kirk, and Kirk threw the ball great. So, yeah, it saved Duran for tomorrow.
It's such a massive thing that really the game was over at that point, right? Like, you, when they start pouring the runs on, you're not thinking about it, like, it's over. They didn't need him. But it changes the equation on tonight so much. Even Dave Roberts, and he wasn't even asked about this. He kind of just said this unprompted. You could tell he was disappointed that the Phillies didn't have to use Duran last night.
Oh, it is. It's pretty close to being flushed already. I think if we could look back at this going in this series and said we were up 2-1, we'd have banked it with glass going. So I feel good with where we're at. Would have loved to have gotten Duran in the game tonight. But, yeah, I feel good with where we're at, and it's certainly flushed.
Hugh, I was surprised he mentioned it. He wishes Duran got in the game. He realizes what the Phillies wanted to do, and he knows now because he didn't pitch last night, he could pitch two full innings tonight.
Yeah, and it was talked about during the broadcast, and the fact that Duran was warming up because they kept cutting to him, and at one point he was warming up really, really fast because they were getting ready to put him in the game.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden it kind of ramped down a little bit when you start, you know, doing what you were doing. So it's a huge get. It's a huge thing to have him available like that, because it's basically going to come down to that. It might come down to him tomorrow night, or tonight, I should say.
It certainly could. I mean, again, it feels to me like a seven-inning game tonight. If the Phillies can get a lead after seven, get Duran the baseball, and let's get this thing back to Philadelphia on Saturday night. Let's go to the lines here, the phone lines. Mike in Medford is up. Hey, Mike.
It is a beautiful day, isn't it, gentlemen?
It is a beautiful. It's beautiful weather. It feels like fall, finally. It feels like October. We got all these games on tonight, and we got ourselves a game four. Mike, what are you feeling?
I'm feeling good, and I'm curious how many people who took the poll yesterday that just said just to end it. I'm wondering how many of them are still watching. Hugh, I called in yesterday. I was just I was taking a shot a little bit at your Powder Blues, but you know, maybe you got something there. You know, maybe we start calling you Powder Blue Hugh, and you know, you just keep this rolling. I mean, they wear the blue as much as they can, because whatever happened yesterday, it was magical, and I am super excited. So,
Powder Blue, you know. Hugh, what do you think? You like that?
I mean, it's all right.
It's all right.
Better than Dodger Douglas.
It is better than Dodger Douglas. And I noticed no Dodger Blue today.
The other day was bad.
I mean, it really was.
It really
was. Not only are the Phillies off the hook in Topper's for a couple days, you are. Yeah, because if you, I mean, imagine if it all went bad and you wore Dodger Blue during the series.
That's, I know, I'd probably. I know.
Tough to live that down.
Yeah, I'd have been used to that, but it wasn't Dodger Blue. It was
obviously Dodger Blue.
I mean, they keep this up. I mean, we got Sanchez. I mean, the pitchers are great. I'm excited. I just do have one thing. Usually when I call in, I've got some sort of sarcastic comment. And so my sarcasm for the day is, I want to know which way the wind was blowing when Nicky C was up the bat 0-for-5 last night. You know, it would have been nice if he was participating in it as well.
Mike, it would have been. Mike, appreciate the phone call. It wasn't so much the Castellanos at-bats that had me rolling my eyes. I mean, I didn't expect much with a right-hander pitching, you know, mostly righties for the Dodgers. It was his defense. My goodness, everything with Castellanos out there is beyond an adventure. I mean, he had the one that was basically hit right at him, and he, like, played it into a difficult play. And then the fly ball down the line that he almost lost in the sky?
Yeah, I guess... the time of day down there, where it's like dusk.
Well, we got shadows tonight, so the sun will be setting. Get ready for that.
Yeah, and that's going to be Hugh's excuse tomorrow.
What are you talking about?
They lose the shadows.
Oh, no, the Phillies aren't losing tonight.
Oh, okay.
And I was just told, people keep telling me that, you know, I could get an app to, you know, do the betting in Delaware.
Another app.
But that ain't the one that I'm sponsored by.
You're so a loyal guy.
Yeah, I can't rock with that.
No, we know.
But I appreciate y'all though.
Team player.
I appreciate y'all though.
Yeah. So you're just getting your car and cash out of bets.
Yeah, I'm just going. I just got to keep doing it the way I'm doing it.
Because that's the sane way to act.
That's how you got to roll in these parts, man. You know, you got to do what you got to do.
I am worried about Castellanos' defense. It feels like it's a matter of time before it.
That right there. You can't work like.
He can't move out there. He's a space cadet.
No, because when Marsh went for that ball early on in the game, and he kind of dove for it, I was like, man, if Bader was out there, he probably. Well, if a healthy Bader, I should say.
I think he either catches it or it doesn't get past him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was rough.
Yeah.
Actually, I will give Castellanos some credit on that.
He got on his horse.
He backed him up, because if Castellanos was slow to go back him up, that's an inside the park home run.
Yeah.
I mean, when it first happened, my first thought was, oh my God, is Casty there? Because if Casty wasn't there, Betts is getting all the way around the bases, and then we're flipping out about Castellanos not backing him up. So at least the space cadet was paying attention on that one. Let's go to James in Reading. What's up, James?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Hey, James. What's up, buddy?
So here's my thing. So I'm going to be the Debbie Downer here. So I think when the Phillies were at home, they had too much pressure. So I think we're going to force a game five, and we're going to come home, and they're going to – you know what's going to happen then.
Well, I mean, I know what you're alluding to, James, that they would – that the road team basically would win every game in the series. We'd get it back here just to kind of give it away on Saturday.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And also, last night when they pulled Nola, I was wondering, why are they doing that? Did you guys also think, like, what are we doing pulling Nola so early, or were you guys kind of expecting Ranger to come in?
I was expecting it.
We kind of workshopped it yesterday, and we said two turns through the order,
yeah,
and then that was it. Yeah,
yeah. My whole thing was I didn't want to let Nola see Ohtani twice, so I think that was exactly what Topper was thinking. Now they did it one batter early because they didn't want to have Ranger come in the middle of an inning, so they just started this inning with him, even though Edmund was up, and obviously that didn't work out great. But I wasn't surprised. And James, I think Nola was very aware of the plan because he was unloading the whole tank. I mean, he emptied the tank. He was throwing 95. I haven't seen him throw 95 over two full innings in years.
Yeah, you're not wrong. So one more thing I wanted to cover with you guys. Mm-hmm. What happened with Brandon Marsh when he had a pitch clock violation, was it? He had an automatic strike, and he had no idea why. Like, what was going on there?
So he was late, but I think the problem was that he got caught up. I'm not sure. At one point, and James, good phone call. At one point, it sounded on the broadcast like they said maybe the bat boy got in his way a little bit.
The bat boy did what?
Well, because Marsh is trying to come to the plate, and Marsh mm-hmm. ends up having a pitch clock violation. Because he didn't get, you know, he just like the pitcher's got to throw the ball on time, the batter's got to get in the box on time.
How does the bat boy get in the way for you?
Well, I don't know. I felt like I heard Brian Anderson say that. I don't know. I'm not really sure why Marsh was late to the plate. There was the intentional walk before that, right? That was one of those where they walked.
Did they? So I didn't see, but I saw people saying that they started the pitch clock before Boehm got to first, which they're not supposed to do.
Well, I also, okay, so that's the difference, right? Because on an intentional walk, when does it start? Does it start when the...
I think the rules are that they can't start it until the player reaches first.
Which is what it should be.
Right. That's I don't know.
Because then all of a sudden the runner's speed on his walk or jog to first impacts it, right? Like if you start the clock right away after the intentional walk signal, it was bizarre. It really was a detriment to the at-bat, too. Was that the moment where Banda was in, the lefty, and he struck out Marsh? I think that was that moment. I mean, Marsh can't hit lefties anyway, and when you put him down 0-1 in the count, it's going to create a whole problem there. That, because it was a good night, that flew under the radar. That was kind of weird. Thomas and Brumo, what's up, Thomas?
Thomas.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Thomas.
Yeah, so I wanted to say something about the whole parlay thing, driving to PA. I mean, when you have Hugh money, you know, you can do that sort of thing. And if he does lose, he can go to, like, autograph signings and make that money back in a few hours.
There you go, Hugh. It doesn't matter. You can lose.
Sorry, somebody gave me $1 today for an autograph signing.
A whole one?
A whole dollar. Wow. I gave it back, though.
Yeah, that's kind of you.
Yeah, I gave it $1 back. It was a crisp dollar.
One thing about the jerseys, though, like they were saying, the home team decides what color they use. If I was the Dodgers, you know, I would make sure that the Phillies have to change their jersey, right?
So you're saying, like, if you were the Dodgers tonight, you would say, hey, we're wearing our blues.
Bump that. You can't wear powder blue
you
tonight.
You can't wear. But here's the problem, Thomas. The Phillies didn't bring the grays, so they'd be uniform.
This is a one-way trip for them. They, like, bump it. This is it.
Yeah. So it's set then, right?
Yeah, I don't think baseball will let the Dodgers make the Phillies have no uniform to wear. That feels like a bigger embarrassment for everybody. Yeah, no, it is. I'm assuming the Dodgers were okay with it when the Phillies asked, you know, a week ago or whatever.
Yeah, I got 2 points. So I don't know if Rob was asked this question before. I get that Nola never came out of the bullpen before. But do you think just because Nola's been with this team from day one, he was drafted here and everything else, you think that had a lot to do with, hey, he's going to be our starter?
I don't, Thomas. So I think it's part of why they trusted him to pitch in the game. And Thomas, good phone call. I don't think he got the start because he was drafted here. I mean, Ranger was brought into the organization as a kid, too. They're both lifelong Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it was
loyalty.
Well, that might have been why he wanted him to pitch in the game. But the order of operations, I just think, was Ranger's come out of the bullpen. Nola's never come out of the bullpen. Let's start with Nola. Go to Ranger.
Yeah, and it worked out.
Yeah.
I mean, Nola gave you what he had, and it looked pretty impressive. And, you know, Ranger did Ranger things.
One thing I am wondering is, I wonder if Ranger could pitch again on Saturday night.
If need be, yes. And I don't even know Ranger well enough to make that statement, but I believe so.
Well, that's a game changer.
No, because I feel like this, Joe. Again, it's not lost on me, and it's not lost on them or anybody else that – this is an elimination situation.
Yeah.
Like, you staved off execution. You got the call from the governor last night. You got 24 hours. So it's the same thing. So you have to have the same sense of urgency that you had last night. You got to have it today.
So when you look at tonight, I feel like the Phillies are in a better spot pitching-wise. We got Sanchez. They got Glass now. Sanchez is better. Saturday, though, they will have Saturday Ohtani and Snell lined up to pitch in that game. We might need Ranger on Saturday to help.
All hands on deck.
To help Lizardo.
Yes. All hands on deck. Because you don't have the comfort of making bad decisions. You know what I mean? Like, you had that the first two games. You lost that cushion that we like to talk about when you make decisions, Topper decisions and all this other stuff. Somebody called in yesterday and talked about how they had to make Topper. What did he say? Something to the effect that Topper couldn't be an effect in this game.
Yeah, they couldn't make it where Topper's a huge part of the game.
Yeah, yeah. So,
and they kind of did. Other than Nola Ranger, he was kind of out of the way. Yeah.
So it has to be that. And when you hear the Dodgers talk, they sound a little tight. Keep that tightness going. Keep it tight.
Let's do it. Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation. PIDentalCenter.com. What? You all right?
None. None. This is
not acting like grown up over there?
Nah, no? Definitely not acting like
absolutely
grown up.
Not. All right, have the Phillies pulled you back in? Yes, no, or the liars out there that never left?
He said the liars.
Well, come on. I mean, we had 40% on our poll yesterday. Yeah. Like, just end the series now.
Yeah.
And now they never left. Okay.
You can't hide from us. We have the data.
We have it. Yes, at 46%, the Phillies have pulled you back in. That's what I voted for. No, at 31%. Boy, that was just some tough people to please. 31% still are not pulled back in. And you're not feeling anything this morning or this afternoon, not believing? I mean, come on. We are one win away from getting this thing back here on Saturday night. You got to have a little bit of, you know, just belief at this point. All right, Cashmere in the Poconos up. Hey, Cashmere.
Joe, it is a beautiful Thursday morning.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is, Cashmere. What's up, buddy?
Oh, man, I was, I'm not going to lie. Yesterday, I tried calling you today, but the line was busy, so I called you. But yesterday, I was despondent. I was despair. I said, it's over. I was one of the ones that voted on WIP. Just put us out of our misery. It's over. There's no chance of this. I'm starting to believe again, Joe. I'm a little trepid, but I'm starting to believe again.
Well, Cashmere, they gave us reason to last night. The way the bats woke up,
it
was different.
But also, I will say this. Dave Roberts managed that game. He managed the Phillies back into this series. I really believe that. And I mean this in a good way. So Dave Roberts, I personally would have used some of the high leverage arms if I were Dave Roberts, because I want to keep that game close. Even if my guys can't come back, I want to make the Phillies use Durant for winning.
Yep.
Because then he would have been shut down today. He managed right in the Phillies' hands, Joe. He managed into our hands.
Yeah, he gave us a better chance tonight by letting Kershaw get, you know, hit around like a pinata last night.
Exactly. Because then he's like, I don't have to use Duran at all. Not forget using him for one inning. We didn't have to use Duran at all. So now we can go. If you're Thompson tonight, Joe, or Hugh, are you going, Stanchy, give me 7 tonight, and I'm going to Durant for 8-9.
That's it. In a perfect world, two pitchers touch the baseball tonight. Sanchez to Durant. That's it.
And then we get back home to Philadelphia for Game 5, where it will be an absolute madhouse.
That'd be what, Sunday?
Saturday night. Saturday night, 8 o'clock. It will be madhouse in there. Yep.
One question. Mm-hmm. How are you guys going to handle having two back-to-back games on national TV tonight? You have I'm not an Eagles fan, obviously, but God bless my friend. She's a huge Eagles fan and a Flyers fan. She's got 3 games tonight, so my heart goes out to her. I mean, I'm going to be messed tonight with just the Phillies. How are you guys going to – Joe, Hugh, how are you guys going to – you guys got 2 big games tonight to look forward to.
Well, we do. No, we do.
Get the Tums ready. Get the heart medication ready.
Whole thing. No, but Cashmere, you're no doubt about it, man, and we appreciate the phone call. I'll just say this. Early apologies if my mind trails off during the pregame show. Hugh and I will be doing the pregame show with Elliot starting at 6 on WIP, right around first pitch of the Phillies game.
Yeah, and we're not gonna lie.
Yeah,
TVs are gonna be on.
Listen, if things are good,
something happened good, we're
cheering.
Gonna,
yeah, yeah. If things go bad, Elliot's going to have to carry the show. I mean, that's...
be honest.
Yeah.
People being honest
being
about
honest,
it.
Elliot, you take over the rest of the segment. We got to go... we got to scream in here. No, I mean, it's going to be a fun night. It's obviously a multiple TV night. I mean, I have to imagine... It's just... You know, I don't know how people set... Everyone's house is different or where you set up to watch games, but... Like, for me, I usually have the TV, and then I have, like, a smaller, like, iPad thing, right? If I was home tonight, like, we're going to be here, Hugh, but if I was home, Eagles get the smaller screen tonight. It's game four.
See, the unfortunate thing for me is this. I have to travel after this, so I only have one option because I only got one radio. So I have to figure out, I feel like, about time the Eagles game starts.
It's going to be about the seventh.
It's going to be, yeah. So I'll probably be able to catch a little bit of Eagles.
It'll be great.
It'll be. I think the Phillies roll tonight.
What if it's like 20-3 Phils by the seventh?
20-3 Phils.
Wait a minute. What?
Yeah 20 runs. Yeah.
20, wait a minute.
Why don't you just go to the Eagles?
20 runs, Hugh.
No, I
did
heard
I stutter?
No, okay. I just wanted to make sure.
the worst beatdown in Dodgers playoff history.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, then you go right to the Eagles, and we talk about, yeah, we worry about the rest tomorrow.
And then the Eagles win a 3-point squeaker against the Giants.
Excuse me?
Hey, a win is a win.
Oh, no.
Whoa.
You dare.
No.
Don't you against Jackson Dart?
What I'm saying is this, that a win is a win. Like, style points, I guess for you guys, Matt, I just want the win.
No.
Let me amend that.
That's a disgusting statement.
Well, okay, let me amend it. I'm amend it just a little bit. It's a win is still a win, but given the fact that we've had this closed door meeting that everybody's trying to downplay, that wasn't a big deal. They need to come out firing tonight.
Well, they do need to come out firing. Look, and we'll get into it, you guys coming up. We'll throw the Eagles and just expectations and what you need to see tonight as the Eagles do play. It is weird just the feeling around the game. Because we just haven't talked about it because we're in the middle of this huge series against the Dodgers. It is a short week, which adds to it. The Eagles are coming off their first loss in forever, which changed the equation early in the week. And it's a bad Giants team, which I think adds to the mix as well. But what should we expect? And I'll tell you what I expect, and we'll get to it coming up on the other side with you guys. 215-592-9494. I expect the Eagles to win this game by a significant amount. The Giants are a bad football team with a very young quarterback and zero weapons for him. This has to be a big Eagles win tonight. And, of course, your Phillies phone calls coming up here on the series, on your feeling going into game four tonight. It's a big advantage either way I see it with the starting pitching. Christopher Sanchez is a better pitcher than Tyler Glass now. And Duran, the fact that he didn't have to go multiple innings or any innings yesterday is a game-changing kind of thing for the Phillies tonight. So it's all on the table. We'll get into it. But, yeah, look, the Eagles haven't had more yards or more first downs in any game this season. That has to change tonight. I mean, than their opponent, I mean. Like, they've been outgained and have had fewer first downs in each of their first five games. We better not come in here tomorrow and that still be a reality, because this Giants team is just not good. I mean, that's just the bottom line. 215-592-9494. All right, Sports Talk on WIP presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on must these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS at Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday on CBS at Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Your Phil's calls, and we'll dive into the Eagles-Giants matchup on the other side right here on the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We got quite a night on tap here in Philadelphia. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. By the way, tonight, Eagles right here on 94 WIP, Thursday Night Football. Pre-game show starts at 6. Hugh and I and Elliot Shore-Parks get you ready for the game tonight. And then, while we're doing that, and after we're done, Phillies on KYW and 1210 WPHC. So you can listen to anything and bounce back and forth, which I'm sure a lot of people will do tonight between the two games. All right, so we've spoken mostly about the Phillies today. Well, we continue to with your phone calls. Here, I can't remember a time, I guess it was a couple years ago when the Phillies went deeper in the playoffs, where we spent so little time on an Eagles game.
Yeah.
We got a game tonight. We'll obviously do a pregame show at 6, so we'll spend a lot of time then. But Hugh, what are you expecting tonight? And do you need to see the Eagles blow the doors off the Giants tonight?
Allow me to long talk for a minute while Kyle gives me the stink eye.
Just say yes.
I understand where everybody's coming from, especially with the game that we had last week.
Mm-hmm.
I need a win. Now, do I need a style point win? Not really.
Oh, you're the worst.
I don't. I just
against
need a win.
Against this god-awful team?
Yeah, this is a god-awful team. I expect, to your point, Joe, this can't be no 21-17.
Ugh.
But it probably will be. It'll probably be a 21-17.
That's not acceptable.
Well, here's the reality of it. And I know we've downplayed the come-to-Jesus meeting that we've had with Saquon. Saquon has become the glue. Well, he was always the glue because Jalen talked about the fact that he was a glue. I think the way that this is so deep-rooted that it's going to take a little bit more time for this to really get hashed out. So and Landon's not playing tonight.
Landon is not playing, which is the right move. I mean, I know he can't play, but they need to be careful with him and give him some time.
Landon's not playing tonight.
Now, tonight's a good night to rest him. Look.
And this is a pretty damn good defense. This Giants defense is pretty good.
So I understand your point on why it is probably going to be a lower scoring game. If you look at the totals across the board this weekend in the NFL, point totals for games, it's the second lowest total. I think the only one that's lower is Browns Steelers.
Yeah.
So it's expected to be a low scoring game. But I mean, look, the Eagles defense should let the Giants score. Jackson Dart and no receivers?
Well, I will say this about young quarterbacks, especially ones. But Vic is a veteran defensive coordinator.
That's right.
But young quarterbacks, you should be able to confuse them because there's a lot of looks that they have not seen.
Here, I'm looking at this Giants depth chart.
They don't have any receivers.
I don't even know if these are real football players. Greg Van Roten.
I like Scatterboo.
He's their best weapon.
I like Scatterboo.
He's their best. Come on, man.
I do. I like him, but I don't see no one.
Eleanor Moore. I mean, who are these people?
No.
Theo Johnson. This is what they're rolling out to. This should be a night we hold the Giants to 13.
No. What are we doing? What are we doing here? We are the defending Super Bowl champs.
Yep.
There's one time that you should puff your chest out and say, we weren't allowed to use
it's the Giants
we are that
games.
Team.
It's the Giants.
It's this one.
Yeah. I thought we weren't allowed
No. It's because the gap here is like the Grand freaking Canyon between what we expect us to be, the standard we're holding our team to, and the Giants. The Giants are 1-4. You know what? If you think the Eagles' offense is stunk, we have 125 points on the season. The Giants have 87.
Oh, my goodness.
87. They are garbage. Go kick their ass. If they don't kick their ass, I'm sounding the alarms.
Familiarity breeds contempt.
No.
And these teams are very familiar with one another.
Yeah, but they're a garbage football team.
They are, but they're going to play you tough. Whew. They're going to play you tough.
Lower the bar, Douglas is back on a Thursday. I mean, this is good. I'm not going to get through the pregame show. The Phillies better go up early. Otherwise, I'm going to be yelling.
I'm appalled.
Listen. We got to get a win. I think we're going to win. 21-17 sound like that might be.
Oh, my God. If this thing is that close in the fourth quarter. Again, in five games this year, the Eagles have had fewer first downs and yards than every opponent. That has to change tonight. Like, at least the other ones. And I think it's a little bit excuse-making, but you could say, Joe, come on, it was the Chiefs. It was Dak Prescott and the Cowboys, CeeDee Lamb. It was obviously Matt Stafford. And like all of them, you can make something up to me where I get it. There's no getting it tonight. If we don't outgain them and have more first downs, it's a joke.
Yeah, I haven't had any of the – I've pushed back with the 2023 stuff for a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
They even squeaked this one out. Then it's all valid.
Yeah, well, there's a serious conversation.
And it's a drop the act Friday.
I'm serious.
I had it up to here Friday. That's what it needs to be.
I've already had it up to here with your nonsense.
All right, can we hear from Ray Dittinger? At least sees this thing clearly. At least someone around here does. Ray, on this game against the Giants tonight.
The one thing, and I've talked to you about this forever. I hate Thursday night football. Yeah. To me, it's one of my least favorite things in the world. But I'm glad they're playing Thursday night this week.
Yeah.
I'm glad they're playing Thursday night, and I'm glad they're playing against this team. But the Giants stink, okay? And this is a game that the Eagles have to go out, and they just have to crush this team.
Yeah.
They can't screw around with this team. It can't be close enough. You got to crush this team because they're there to be crushed, okay? And forget about, being on the road. That's going to sound like the link. I mean, it's going to because it always does up there. And this is a game – I know you don't have a whole lot of time to get healed and game plan, but it shouldn't matter against this team. You can't be fooling around with these guys. You got to go out and you got to crush this team right from the jump. And then maybe you get your season back on track. But this is a big game, surprisingly enough, but it's the perfect opponent at the perfect time. Go out and do what you have to do.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know why it's not outside of Cleveland. You know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you hear Ray Diddinger there?
I did hear him.
Okay.
And I got love for Ray Diddy, but I mean, it's going to be a tough one.
It's going to be a tough one.
Well, I think they're going to win, but I think it's going to be, you know, it's not going to be pretty.
So if you're right, I think the issue will be our offense, right? I don't expect the Eagles to let the Giants score points tonight. I just don't expect it. Well, if the Giants are in the 20s, something drastic happens. So I think they'll be in the teens. The Eagles' offense should get to the mid-20s. I'm not asking for 40 points, but we got to have... Shouldn't we win this game by double digits?
We should.
Should.
We should, but I don't feel like... As I think about this game and how it's going to play out, how do you see us win? The Giants are pretty decent against the run, and we haven't really ran the ball that well. Well, hell, we haven't really thrown the ball that well either.
We've done anything well on offense.
As I put my... analyst cap on, talk about this.
The light bulb went off. Our offense has sucked.
And I don't think, you know, because we're talking about the meeting that everybody had to come to Jesus meeting.
Yeah.
I think there's still going to be some growing pains with that.
Growing pains.
I think it's going to look better, but it's not going to look great.
It's October 9th.
Yeah. And that's
the
thing. Because,
it's the Giants.
And that's the thing. That's the thing, guys, because I think around last year, around this time, this is when we started to turn the corner.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like that's going to be the case today. This might take another week. This might take the time off that we're going to need to get, you know, get healthy, get your mind right, and then maybe next week is that week. But I don't feel like this is the week that we exercise the demons. The conversation has been had, no question. But I just don't, and it might be better, but I don't feel like everything is fixed. Because that's some deep-rooted hatred.
Well, sure.
I don't want to say it's hatred because I'm recklessly speculating.
You're talking about the Eagles players with each other.
There's a lot going on that we don't know about. And I don't even really know if everybody understands what the gripe is. This feels deeper than football to me. It really does. So I just feel like tonight they're going to win, but it's not going to be, they're going to win. But it's not going to be what we think it should be.
Yeah. Okay. But the Eagles,
is that acceptable?
It's not acceptable.
No, I mean, a win is a win.
Oh, my God.
It's not acceptable.
It's a win. It's a win.
It's not.
No, as long as one loss on the season and we still have time to get it together. Now, I will give you this, Kyle, because I know what you're trying to get me to say. It has to start to get better. Because if you're talking about, to your point, this is eerily similar to the year we went to Tampa. Was that 2023?
23, yeah.
Yeah, it feels kind of like that.
Everything fell hard.
Yes.
The record was nice, but things weren't right.
It's going to take a little while.
There are similarities to that. There are. They're winning despite in spite of being outgained every week. That is similar. Now, they have a better defense than then, and they have Vic Fangio. That year they had the combination of, who do we have, Sean Desai and Matt Patricia? I mean, that's a major difference. But offensively, yeah, it's been choppy. Tonight, they got to get it done. Our pregame show coming up at 6 later tonight. We'll be with Elliot. And do you expect and need an Eagles blowout tonight? I do. Again, I don't need them to win by 40. I recognize it's a short week. But I need a double-digit victory. If
27 is better than 21.
27-17 is better. Yeah, that's okay. Better. If it's 11 o'clock tonight and I'm watching the TV thinking the game is still in the balance, then there's a problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, the game should be over. The way last night, you know how the eighth inning ended the game for the Phillies? Yeah. I need that tonight in the fourth quarter. Just run away from them and get out and get a victory. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Theo is out in Vegas. What's up, Theo?
Theo.
Hey, guys. The Eagles, I'm not worried about the time.
Theo, I'm going to put you on hold there. I think Theo might be...
Got that jitterbug.
Yeah, he might be somewhere in the mountains in Vegas. So let's go to Frank in Savannah. What's up, Frank?
How you doing? Hugh, I heard you say the Giants have a bad rush defense. So normally I agree with you, but they're the 26th ranked defense against the rush.
That's not great.
No, it's bad. That's bad.
I mean, they're giving up an average of 140 rushing yards a game. Now, their last three was 115. So they're getting a little better. Their last game was only 88. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking that they're going to come through tonight, even with Matt Pryor. Maybe Fred Johnson slides in at guard. I still think they're going to go ahead and put up some points. I'm looking at 28-13.
I would take that. Yeah, so, and Frank, they should be able to run the ball. That you personnel-wise, the Giants probably should be better against the run, but they're not, right? They're getting pushed around a little bit, yeah, like you just said. And this should... This feels like the week Saquon gets going a little bit in the run game. Back against the Giants. And that Amazon documentary is coming out. I'm not sure if it's out today or tonight. You know, the whole Saquon thing. And one thing that I saw, Frank, yesterday that's interesting. Hugh, in the documentary, when it's out, apparently there's a part in it where he asked the Giants for a trade a couple years ago. Yeah. And they said no to him. Which, Frank, when I saw that, I was like, man, that moment changes Eagles history, right? If they trade him somewhere, that team clearly re-signs him. They're not going to trade for him and let him walk away. So he never gets the free agency, and we never get him.
Yeah, and I also just wanted to touch base. Yesterday, I called for the first time and told you guys about, you know, the whole Kevin Millar, don't let the Phillies win.
We're
winning again tonight. All the pressure is on the Dodgers. And the other thing you got to think about is when you watch that game, if you looked at Dave Roberts, starting in about the third inning, he was shook. I mean, his mannerisms, he was jumping up and down. He didn't look that composed, cool, and collected he did at CBP. And I really think that the pressure of trying to be generationally great is going to just, I mean, when we come out tonight and we get Glasnow out in the third or fourth inning, man, I think it's going to be bad for him. I really do.
Frank, you might be right. And you know what? I think last night he was teetering between, like, do I go for the kill tonight or do I save my guys for game four? And he kept the Phillies alive. But when he let Kershaw stay out there, it was like, all right, they're conceding this game.
I mean, I was scared up to that point, though. I'll be honest with you. As much as I had put some bravado, we left... I think I counted seven runners up until JT hit that solo shot.
Yeah.
I mean, it was 3-1. It was apocalyptic. At one point, I was getting nervous, but I really feel like tonight they just got to – I hope the Phillies, if y'all hear me, come out, stay focused, play loose, and just put the bat on the ball. The home runs will come. Don't go swinging out of the zone because that's what they're going to do. Watch the first three at-bats. He's going to go glass now. It's not even going to put something in the zone because he doesn't want these guys connecting. So,
Frank, you're right about that. I mean, good phone call, man. No, Glasnow will throw the baseball out of the zone. I mean, his whole thing is to try to get Chase. He has a great curveball. He's got nasty stuff. There's a reason why his strikeout rate in his career is as high as it is. But the Phillies have to do their part and be smart and not let him strike them out.
And I don't feel like the Phillies have chased a lot, like at all.
I think you're right.
I think their problems have been different this time, which is good. But I'm encouraged by their approach when it comes to a guy like Glasnow on the mound.
I think they're going to wait him out, yeah. I think to the other side of it is Sanchez has to hold the Dodgers down so the Phillies don't feel tight. Like, if we went down 2-0, maybe we would chase because we feel tight. As long as Sanchez is doing his thing, I think the Phillies will stay disciplined. All right, Theo, back up in Vegas. What's up, Theo?
Hey, sorry about that.
That's all right.
Yeah, the Phillies, I mean, last night gave me a tiny bit of hope, but I've fallen for this over and over. Like, I'm not trying to fall for the banana in the tailpipe again. They just have no play discipline. Last night was different, but like all season against bad pitchers, we hit 8 home runs and then it makes us believe that we can win this whole thing. But like the other night with Nick Castellanos on second, man on second with no outs, like basically a must win game. I feel like good teams always score that run. Okay, and Nick Castellanos, what was he doing? And then he's upset with, like, us booing him. Like, he makes $100 million. You know what I'm saying? Like, his feelings hurt. Like, what the heck? He doesn't deserve to play in Philly. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like Bryce's response. And then, like, last night, Bryce, the whole team, they played better. But I still just don't like the play discipline. Like, what happened to Bryce Harper? Like, here's a scouting report on Bryce now. You bring in a lefty and you throw him a slider. He falls for it every time. He used to spit on these pitches. You know, I just, this team has just been so frustrating the last couple of years. They give us so much hope, and then they go dead.
No, man,
is that going to happen? I mean, it happened the first two games. Is it going to happen tonight? I hope not. The homer in me.
Did you enjoy the game last night, man? Theo, did you enjoy the game last night?
Yes, I did. But
okay. Okay.
You know what?
He's not having it today.
No, I don't understand. Like, we're complaining about a win. I mean, we're looking at elimination. We got plenty of time to complain, Theo. I'm just kind of wondering what's the point?
But I've gone through this since we lost that series to Arizona.
And we all feel the same way.
So Theo, I get it, and I think a lot of people out there probably share some of the same sentiment. Theo, we appreciate the phone call. Here's the thing, though. This is fandom, right? This is what you do. You get back up, and I think if you're thinking logically about this, they're still in a hole, right? The Dodgers are still major favorites to win the series. I get all that. Like I didn't forget all that when we walked in here at 10 o'clock today. But we have optimism now, and the Phillies have the pitching advantage. And as far as the Chase stuff, I agree with Kyle. I don't think that's been as big of a problem in the series. Bryce, maybe against some of the lefties. I thought the at-bat he worked in the first inning last night was a good one.
Yeah.
I mean, look, the other thing, too.
They did what they had to do last night, Joe. It's not perfect. They did what they had to do. Do we know this team is flawed? Yes. Do we know there's a good chance that they might lose tonight? Yes. I mean, it's not lost on us, but let's enjoy the moment.
The other thing is, when you're in the playoffs, it's never going to look pretty every at-bat. Like,
never.
They had Ohtani, Snell, and Yamamoto start the first three games. Like, have you noticed Shohei Ohtani's had some bad swings?
Yeah.
Good pitchers get good hitters to look bad. I mean,
also, they kicked the Dodgers' ass last night.
They
won 8-2. In the pitching matchup, that should have been the single worst one of the whole series for us. Like, and look, there was a small part of me yesterday that was like, just rip the Band-Aid off. Let's get this over with. Mm-hmm. Bury the Phillies. But now that we're here, it's like, you know, I'm glad we have more baseball tonight.
Of course.
The Phillies are still here.
That's the bottom line,
and we have hope that we can do this.
If you want to complain, all the people that want to complain, you got tomorrow. If whatever happens tomorrow, if you want to complain, if they lose tomorrow, you got all day to complain. Then you can say, I told you so, and you can call in and talk about how bad they were. I'm pretty sure you're going to have that group's going to call in. If it doesn't go the way we think it's going to go, that group will call in, and you'll have your moment. But right now, today is just not the day for that.
And I got to tell you, yesterday there were four playoff baseball games on. I was watching or listening to all of them. And I know, does it always work like this? No, there's no team out there left that's as good as the Dodgers. If we can pull this off, like, think about what's left in front of us. The Cubs or the Brewers, most likely the Brewers. They're good. Dodgers are obviously better than them in terms of talent. And then I look at the American League, it's going to be one of three teams. The Toronto Blue Jays, the Tigers, or the Mariners. I mean, like, if we can win the next two games, the path is right there to go win the whole thing. So, yeah, I mean, today's the day to have optimism. And hang up Hughes not having the negativity today. That's...
I like how you did that.
You're not. I mean, amazing. No Phillies negativity, which I appreciate, but, you know, lowering the bar for the Eagles.
I'm not lowering the bar.
You did.
I'm just being realistic about what I'm potentially going to see.
Their best weapon is Cam Scatabo.
Okay, let's workshop
whatever
this.
Whatever his name is.
Let's workshop this Scatabo. A little bit. This team, we saw them like 4 days ago. And they played.
Yeah, wow, it's been a long week. Yes, 4 days ago.
Yeah, they look horrible.
Yeah, but the Broncos are good. The Broncos are good.
The Broncos aren't that good.
Not,
The Broncos, like, they're
well, the
they're
Broncos
decent.
Are a lot better than the Giants.
Yeah, they're a lot better than the Giants.
I think the Broncos might be good. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, here's my problem with you.
Wait a minute, why is it with me?
Among many things. So, you're being realistic about what we might see tonight against the Giants. Like, that's one thing. What Joe and I are saying is, like, that reality is not acceptable.
No.
And it shouldn't be acceptable.
Like, that means we're lowering the bar
on
what they are.
We should have higher expectations and a higher standard for the Eagles.
Well, I do. I do.
But obviously not.
But I'm also a realist.
Well, so I guess what I'm trying to separate out of you is what you think is going to happen versus like what we should expect to happen. If we squeak one out, win by 3 points against the Giants tomorrow, you're gonna say a win's a win, everything's okay.
Well, yeah, it's still
okay.
To
that's
done.
Crazy to me.
No, it's Kyle. It's you. Not acceptable. Okay, let me say that because I all think right. you're hung
there
up on me accepting.
I am.
It's not acceptable.
That was the question.
But it's probably going to happen.
Okay.
That's probably going to happen.
So we've done a lot this year, and some people are upset about these analogies. Like, are they like the 2023 Eagles, right? And there's reasons why you could say you see some similarities and why you'd say, no, that's ridiculous. Could we all agree on this? The 2024 Eagles, last year's team, would blow the doors off this Giants team tonight. They'd win the game by 17 or 20 points. I mean, it wouldn't even be close. And I don't know if they're going to be as good as they were last year. They're probably not, but it's like a litmus test. It's not about the win or the loss tonight. There should be no thought they're going to lose the game. But it's about how they win and what that means. And, Hugh, to your point, it is a short week. It's a divisional play. I get all that. And I was just looking at the scores of these Thursday games so far this season. For the most part, they've been close. The biggest margin of victory in these Thursday games so far this season has been, I believe, 10. It's been 10, 9, a lot of threes.
Mm-hmm.
An overtime game last week with a division game with the Niners and Rams. So I get that. That's Thursday games tend to be weird. But boy, this is a spot the Eagles should win. I mean, Vic Fangio against a quarterback making his third start in the NFL.
Yeah, he's a young, but they're going to keep. The way I imagine this game is going to go, as good as this Eagles defense is, I mean, they have leaked oil as of late, but they have fast flow linebackers. Scatterball is decent, but he's not that fast.
Right.
So you're going to try to, with your defense, keep the game close. Kind of like Denver did last week. You know, when you talk about the way that they managed the game, they kept the ball for the most part on the ground. When they did throw it, they got a little bit of trouble, but they were able to work their way out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I figure this is the same thing. You're going to try to simplify the offense as much as you possibly can. You're not going to throw a whole lot at the young man because if I'm Vic Fangio, I'm disguising all types of coverages, and I'm showing him all different kind of looks, and I'm making him check off. I'm moving guys. I'm just going to make him overthink everything. So now, in order to kind of balance that out a little bit, when you have a young quarterback, your best friend is your running back. You got a young running back there too. So I would, if I'm Fangio, I'm bunch of run blitzes. I'm keying on that young man. And I'm trying to put them in downs where they have to throw the football. I don't think they want to go into a game where they want Jackson Dart throwing it a whole lot.
They turn the ball over in five straight possessions.
Yeah, like they don't want that. They don't want that.
Yeah, I'm sure they don't. I'm sure they want to keep it close. It's probably why the total on the game is so low. All right, 215-592-9494. For one more hour to get your calls in with us on tonight, the Phillies game four and Eagles-Giants. Do you need to see a big margin of victory for the Eagles tonight? I do. I mean, they have to win this game, and it can't be like 21-17 Douglas Squeaker over here. Plus, the Phillies had a team meeting before the game last night. What we know about what went down in that meeting, we'll hit it next, including a line I think everyone out there is going to like. 215-592-9494, Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Every NFL Thursday is your chance to hit the jackpot on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Because with FanDuel's Thursday Touchdown Jackpot, you can win a share of $2 million in bonus bets each week. To get in on this Thursday's action, all you have to do is place an anytime touchdown score bet before the game kicks off. And if your player scores the first or the last touchdown of the game, you win your bet plus a share of bonus bets. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to take a shot at the jackpot. FanDuel.com/GIGLIO for your chance to win a share of $2 million in bonus bets. Play your game with FanDuel, an official sports betting part of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official sportsbook of 94 WIP.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.